from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that's saying goodbye to one closet and saying hello to another one. And some might say we're downsizing because we're moving from a tiny climbing closet to a smaller, but I say we're right-sizing because it's just right. And I'm patting the walls of this closet. Who pats the walls of a closet? I do, because it's time for Sleep With Me, podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if I could just have your attention until the theme music plays, or remember tomorrow when your hand hits the fridge, sleepwithmepodcast.com. Check out the sponsors of the patron, because these are the ways we keep this show going. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Season 3 is now in effect for Within the Wires, one of my favorite podcasts, one of the most brilliant audio drama podcasts ever. And it's told in a beautiful way. It's a political thriller set in 1950s Chicago. And it's told through, again, through found audio, notes and dictated letters from a bureaucrat to his secretary. And, you know, if you're curious, you know, for more story around the Great Reckoning, you know, building a new society, tune in. And you don't need to have heard seasons 1 or 2 to start right at season 3. Every season takes place in the same universe, so you can enjoy all 3 seasons. But you can start this one without missing anything at all. And then you can check out season 1, which is told through relaxation cassettes, and then season 2, which is museum audio guides. Really, really one of my favorite shows. You can check it out right in the podcast app you're listening to now. You just open it up, say, Within the Wires. Search for it, Within the Wires, or go to withinthewires.com. It's another great Night Vale Presents show. So get in there and tune in. Thanks. Mr. Bard, who else works on this show? Like, a lot of people help on the show, right? This posty poster song sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes. Carl W. the Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team are just down on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at Sleep With Me Podcast. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. Oh, now on with the show. Thanks, Mr. Bard. Make sure you subscribe. Another great way to help the show is just spread the word. Let people know about the podcast in your online communities or your in-person communities. I really, really appreciate the people that are doing that. I couldn't do it without you. And let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night? Tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, work schedules, travel, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off of that, keep you company. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous, rustified tangents, and many other techniques refined over... you know what? I've been sifted. What about sift? Let's talk sifting tonight, maybe. And, you know, first I'd like to define it and put it, well, we'll get back to it. But what I'm going to do is take your mind off stuff while you fall asleep is basically the idea. Keep you company as you drift off to dreamland. If you're new, here's a few things. Give the show a few tries and see if it works. It does not work for everybody. Creaky dulcet tones and pointless meanders are not everyone's cup of tea, and that's okay if it's not your cup of tea. But I am here to help, so give it a few tries just to see if it does help, because that's what the majority, I mean, I'm talking like 98% of listeners say. is, hey, on the first try, I tried to make sense of it. The second try, I realized it doesn't, Scoots doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He's my boar bud. And then on the third try, I was already asleep. So give it a few tries and see how it goes. I mean, I hope it helps because I really want to help you fall asleep, but there's no pressure to even like the show or to have it work for you. I hope, like I said, you know what I'm saying? Open space. This is a safe place. I'm here with a friendly, and I'm kind of smiling, but if I stop to smile, not only are my smiles awkward, you know, then it makes it hard for me to talk. This is the way I talk when I'm smiling. I'm trying to remember to talk about sifting later. But so if you're new, give it a few tries. Don't try to make try to consume the podcast somewhat passively. Just like you would if you're, you know, when you're, you know what I mean? When you're on the phone with a relative, and they have a lot of superfluous dialogue, and you say, oh yeah. Maybe you're like making pasta, you know, stirring things. Hopefully you have a headset on, so you don't have to balance your phone too. Maybe they're on speaker. And you say, and you're trying to measure the pasta. You say, how much spaghetti for four people here? Okay symbol or more? You say, oh, really? Okay. With this podcast, you can take that mindset. It's not the growth mind. It's the faux active listening mindset. I'm not going to tell anybody. I've done it before. I have. Oh, yeah. But there's no pressure, and that's my job is for you. Here's my job for you not to listen to me. Weird podcast. I make a podcast, work on it a lot every week. A couple full-time jobs worth of work goes into the show, so you don't need to listen, so it can be here to help you. So there's no pressure to listen. Also no pressure to fall asleep. The reason that podcasts are an hour and that we have like 300 shows in the feed is so you have plenty of time to fall asleep and to drift off. Plenty of room to comfort you and to keep you company as you drift off. So you can drift off whenever you want. It's a podcast more to be here while you fall asleep. Structurally, what to expect. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show going. Then there's some business between the intro and story. Then the show after the business has an intro. The intros are about 12 minutes long. And believe it or not, it's a show within a show that you can fall asleep to. Now, some people fall asleep during the intro. A lot of people get ready for bed, start their wind down routine. Maybe do some doodling while you're listening to the intro. You know, help you. You say, well, journaling, whew, that sounds like a lot of work. You could doodle and listen to the, you say, well, what do you call it? A scroodle. It's like I'm listening to Scroots and I'm doodling. Oodles of scroodles when I'm listening to my droodles. That's what my faux girlfriend from Niagara Falls says. She calls me old scroodles. Oh, no, screwball. Dear screw. Oh, sorry, I was misreading the writing. But anyway, where was I? You could doodle. Some people call their pets. Some people listen to the intros during the day. I'm looking to lower the intensity on my day, have a little mental break. And so you can do that. A couple people skip the intro and go straight to the story. So whatever works, use it as you wish. But the intro is kind of a 12-minute chance for you to unwind, to come to this familiar safe place, but that's different each time. I mean, obviously, it's a lot of work goes into it. I could just replay the same intro or go, yo, welcome to the Sleep With Me podcast. Shoo-ba-doo-doo-bop. About to put you to sleep. You've been sifting through your day, and now I'm going to be sifting through your dreams with Sleep With Me. Shashoom. And then we'll go right into the story. But I found over 700-plus episodes that it's nice to have a little wind down, someone to pat the safe place, smooth it, say, hey, come on in. No pressure to fall asleep. No pressure to listen. I'm glad you're here. I've been there in the deep, dark night, and I know it sucks. So I'd like to help. Yeah, you take a breath here. You could sink in here. You take another breath and you say, okay, Scoots is here to goof on my behalf. Oodles of strudels when we're doodling with droodles. And you could say, you know, you could even do a little self-soothing. Go ahead and touch your nose. It's less patronizing if you boop your own nose and say, hey, doodlebug. That may be a patented word. I don't know. But you say, I don't know. I don't know where that came from. Just the word doodlebug popped in my head. Yeah, but so that's the show. And it is a bit like that DJ person, whoever popped up earlier, said it right. It is a bit of sifting. Like sometimes when I get into bed, those parts of my brain say, I want to start sifting through the day. Or they say, do we need a sifter? Well, how much should we go to Wirecutter? Where do we find out Consumer Reports? And then part of it says, I don't want to get upsold on a sifter. And you say, well, are we going to use a sifter? And then maybe some says, well, look at, you know, they go into some like SHME mode. They say, well, look at all the others. Didn't you buy a sifter? Remember, it's behind the water or something. They say, no, that's a snifter. That's a snifter holder, actually. I thought that was an investment. It turns out that was a mistake. You're right. But a sifter, I don't know. Do we need to sift or not? To sift or not to sift? That is the question that some bakers ask. Bakers don't ask it. They say, what, are you freaking kidding me? Of course you sift. I presume it's to get all the clumps out of there. And, you know, if you don't aerate your flour, it's going to be clumped with your tears later when it's already baked and your goods are not as light and airy as they could be. Don't tell me you put your peaks in your egg whites, at least. They say, I'm sorry, are you on one of those cooking shows? Because you're sounding like a slightly duller version of one of those cooking show people with the voice raising. And they say, okay, I was just here sifting through my thoughts about sifting. And maybe here's an idea. Have you ever taken a sifter to the beach? You know, once you should label it. And are those like sifters? Those things, I guess they do. The screens. I used to love playing with those. I'd pretend I was painting for gold. It turned out I was painting for microscopic sized pebbles. Or when I was a kid, cigarette filters. Like, who knew someone, like, when I was a kid, that was like a thing. Let's go to the beach, let's smoke a ton of cigarettes. They'd say, look at this thing. I mean, I would pretend it was some sort of sign. You know, I'd say, interesting. The cylindrical bead, you know, this is exo-cylindrical from the famous, and they'd say, no, it's not. But put that down. Sorry, Mom. So I don't know how she got in here. But yeah, I don't know if I think there's another word other than a screen. I guess those are called screens. That's not a sifter. Well, here's a question, chef, or whoever's in my brain in there. If you had to, okay, let's just say we had a baking situation, like one of those shows, Baking 411 or whatever you call it. And they say, we need a wedding cake by, you know, in 8 hours. And you were at my place. We didn't have a sifter. But I said, I think there's somewhere out back, there's one of those kids' beach toys. Would you, yay or nay? And I said, well, we could wash it. Is it better to put it through there or not to sift at all? That is a question we were asking earlier. Here's the thing. I'm here to sift, to put aside the sifting so you can begin the drifting. Lucky segue there. I'll sift through this stuff of the day and say, hey, let's aerate this. Let's relax it. And you can drift off at any point. I'm going to be here to keep you company. And the reason I make the show, like I say, is because I've been there. I know what it's like. And I'd like to help if I can. Now, this doesn't work for everybody, so give it a few tries. See if it helps you. But I appreciate your time. I'm really glad you came by. And I hope and I yearn to help you fall asleep. And if you could listen for a few seconds, if you're still with us, here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody.
All right, hey, everybody. So this is going to be a little bit of a potpourri episode, and I'll give you some forewarning, even though I haven't recorded this episode, so I don't know what to expect. But this could get personal. Like, just to frame the timing, when you hear this, it'll be in the future for me. But this is like a strange coalescence of things. Like, episode 700 is about to come out. So we'll have some look backs at the show, and this will be a look back in a different way, because actually this is going to be the last thing I record here in the Climbing Closet, where I've recorded, I think, every episode, well, not every episode, probably of the 700 plus episodes of Sleep With Me, like at least 680 have been recorded here in the Climbing Closet, maybe 675. I don't know if episode 1 was recorded here or 2. I can't even, honestly, I can't think. I know early episodes were, though. I just don't know if the first 2 or 3, I don't know where I recorded those, to be honest. So I just wanted to talk about like a little bit of the history of, I don't know, talk about the Climbing Closet, what's happening. I mean, it's nothing major, so. And, a little bit of perspective, but I have a feeling, and I haven't done like a real personal episode, that some of my story will leak in here, and I'll try to do it in the most lulling, soothing way I can, but, we all have our own, ups and downs, and this is like a time for gratitude-based reflection in a positive way. So I'm sitting here in the Climbing Closet. So let me give you, I don't know if I've ever walked everybody through a bit by bit of the Climbing Closet, or if I have, it's been in the FAQ or a long time ago. And I guess it's, I'll try to push the personal history stuff to more of the middle. So where the Climbing Closet is and all that. But when I say Climbing Closet, I mean, like, this closet is a narrow, like, you say, oh, it's a walk-in closet. This one is not, because I live in a 4-unit building that was once a house that got converted into 4 separate apartments. And so I don't know what this closet was before. Like, to my left is my bed. Like, if my left elbow is against a wall, and the other side of the wall is my bathroom. I think my sink is, like, right up against my elbow. And then to the right wall is my daughter's bedroom. To my back is another wall that goes into the hallway between the kitchen, my daughter's bedroom, the bathroom, and the living room, which is my bedroom. And the closet is like, if both my elbows are at my sides, that's how wide it is. And so it's like a hallway. You can climb back here, and it's long. And when I was first, I don't know, remember when I decided, but I said, I wonder if I could use the back of that closet. I was trying to find some place to record. And I said, maybe this closet will work. And here's what's outfitted in here. Maybe I'll start with that, because it's pretty busy back here. And some of it I've, like, hinted at or whatever. So underneath me is a carpet that was in my living room for a while. I've talked about that because I know people have interacted with me. And it's like a cheap carpet I bought on a website, kind of as a joke. I had it in my living room for a little while. Like, it was something you kind of see spray painted on the side of a 70s van. And then I realized, because it's hardwood floor in the closet, I said, okay, let me put that carpet in there, because it's like, my daughter didn't like it. It was pretty embarrassing carpet, and it was of a forest friend, like in some pixelated, like 8-bit brown and black colors. So that's what's underneath me. Then I'm sitting in an office chair from IKEA. That's been in my life, I don't even know how long. Maybe I bought it specifically for the podcast, and it's one of the, like, I don't know if they even still sell it. It's one of the least expensive ones because it's really small. And I presume this chair will be coming with me, and I'll record in it. This chair's never had a name. I'm sorry that I never named you Cherry, and that's a name of another character. So that was just a friendly pet name I was calling you until I name you. But the chair is not terribly comfortable, but my back's against the backrest, I'm sitting up straight, and it's not uncomfortable. So it's like, and it has like a gray fabric on the back and the seat, and the back is kind of like right in where my lumbar area is. And above that, it's open. So it's not one of those high-backed chairs. And that's nice. So I guess because I get hot, so maybe because my shoulders and stuff can have some air. Also, the floor, it's a bit busy, because I don't always clean. I'm not super consistent about picking up, like, notes and stuff. So it has a couple of frequent fearless flyers from, like, literally last year, and some, like, a piece of paper I print out for, like, sponsor reads. It has an expo marker and a whiteboard that I used to use. We were trying to get 10% of listeners to support the show and keep it at 3 episodes a month. I was doing a lot of live streams and trying to use the whiteboard to get people on board. Then there's like an iPhone charger that looks like it's probably past its prime on the floor in case my phone gets low on battery. I don't see anywhere to plug it in. And then, like, a headphone splitter. That was another thing when I was trying to do more live streams. And a LED candle that I broke, I dropped when I was using it in here once. And I think that's it on the floor. Then on all three walls are moving blankets that I bought at Harbor Freight or whatever it's called. And they're actually half moving blankets. So they're moving blankets I cut in half. And they do a nice job of just so it sounds better than the bare walls. A nice sound dampening thing. The moving blankets will be coming. Don't worry, blankies. You're coming with me. We need you at the new place. So they're coming along. I don't know about the carpet on the floor. I'll have to see what I'm going to do with that. Don't worry, we won't get rid of you. But So there's a moving blanket on all three sides and then one across the closet rod above my head. It also create kind of like a tighter space, a smaller space. And all of it's connected to the walls in a slapdash way. Would that be an apt description? Then in front of me, to my left, is clothes. The first thing is a raincoat that if I ever had a formal event that I also needed a raincoat for. It's like a dress raincoat. I think I got it as a gift when I, like, literally when I graduated from university, so a long time ago. And it probably needs, it looks like it needs to be cleaned. I don't know if you have to bring that to a dry cleaner, but I'd keep it here just in case. I mean, I'll have it for one of those events. I think it's a beltless raincoat, which I remember was a thing. Or maybe it wasn't, and maybe that's why I got it as a gift. And then behind it is other clothes going into the closet rod. When the clothes, and those are my clothes, and then there's like a thing, one of those hanging things with shoes. Then behind that is my daughter's dresser with some shirts above that. Then to my right is a bunch of old drapes, like where I climb in. I go to the side of these drapes. Like, so they're blocking the climb in side to dampen the sound and just to absorb some sound. So there's no sound reflecting, which will probably give it a more hollow, less like a calming. And it creates a nice space. To where I feel safe and where I can carve out a safe place and say, here we are. Like, let's spend some time together. Let me carry you off into dreamland. Now, lighting in here has always been a bit of a challenge, and power is a challenge in my apartment. Because the closet has one light, very typical closet light, bare light bulb that you pull the string at. Yeah, but that's on the other side of the drapes, so really not enough. So then on the floor is just like the chair I'm sitting in from a previous life when I had a chair and a desk is a IKEA table lamp. And I don't even think they make a light bulb for this lamp anymore. Because I remember I said I need a new light bulb for it. Because the light bulb still works, but this is the kind of quality craftsmanship they have there. And I'm not joking. I mean, for an affordable level. Like, the light bulb has a crack in it. It still works somehow. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just imagining it. Yeah. And that provides the majority of my light from the floor. Because it's a desk lamp, but it's on the floor. But it's, like, got that flexible neck, so I can move it around. Then I also have like a string of LED lights that I don't always use above me, but I need those when I have to read because then I need light above, you know. But I don't always turn those on, mostly because I forget. Well, also because of the power. So we'll get to the power in a minute. Then all to my upper right is one of those like holders you would get for your phone. That you say, well, I want to watch my phone. I want to attach it to my desk or my headboard or my bed or something that you would buy for, I think, for $5. It just holds your phone and then you clamp it to your desk and it has a little bit of a flexible wire or something. And I use that to hold it. It'll fit the small Amazon Kindle I have, like the 7-inch or whatever. So I use that if I need my phone or to watch Star Trek or Doctor Who or The Good Place or GOT on either my phone or this old Kindle I have. Then directly in front of me is another slightly upgraded like a version of the same thing. It's just a little bit more heavy duty because it holds an iPad. And I have an iPad, actually. The iPad is like a... This is another sign of craftsmanship. I'm pretty sure the iPad is from at least 2012, if not like 2011 or 10. It probably is from 2010. And that's another thing I'll use to read notes or I don't really watch a video on it for the podcast. I still watch a video on it for, you know, for myself, if like I'm trying to cook and watch a basketball game. Yeah, but that's what I'll use to do reading if I have stuff, or for reading reviews or whatever. So that's hanging from a closet rod. The one on the right is hanging from a hook that you're supposed to hook like a jacket or a sweatshirt on. Then to the left of that is another phone holder, just like the one on the other side. But instead of holding a phone, that's holding a battery pack for the recorder. Then also above me is a boom arm from that was donated to the show by Boom Boom Brian, a new one. And the boom is actually upside down because it's a boom that's meant to be, again, clamped to a desk. So all these things are clamped to stuff above me instead of a desk at my level. So they've all taken a bit of, you know, Scoot's design. Yeah, but so the boom is hanging. It's attached, I think, to the shelf at the top of the closet or the closet rod. And that holds a microphone. But it's also like tied to the, because it's not supposed to be coming from above, it's also tied to, like I have a bunch of ties tying it to the closet rod, because obviously I wouldn't want it to fall and drop the mic. You know, if I'm going to be dropping the mic, it's going to be not on this podcast. Unless I say, I dropped the mic and fell. I mean, I could fall asleep and it would still be, the mic would still be there. And that ends right here where I am at your ears, at my microphone, which in its current incarnation is, what is this, Beta 87A, I think is the microphone we have. And that was a recommendation I saw from Marco Arment. And this is like our 1, 2, 3, this is a fourth iteration of microphones for Sleep With Me. But probably the longest or the second, I think this is the longest microphone we've had. Though I can't be sure of it. I'm pretty sure we've been using this for at least since 2016, maybe 2015, nonstop, except like on location stuff. Now, to keep the technical things going, the microphone has a microphone cable that goes up and out of the closet to the shelf, the bookshelf or whatever, the closet shelf. And it goes into our preamp, which is a DBX-286X or S or something. And it's necessary to kind of, the preamp powers the mic because this is a mic that needs power. And also it makes the sound it makes the sound hearable, it amplifies the sound. Now, the nice thing about the 286XS or whatever I have is also it has a couple other knobs on there. One knob helps with sibilance. So I have remove the sibilance. What I just said would be really squeaky and have a harsher sound. I wouldn't let the episode come out. So I'd fix that in post-production, but it saves a step in post-production and just reduces the sibilance because I'm really close to the mic and it's important for me to be comfortable in your ears. I'm also pretty good at getting rid of sibilance, but I'm also used to using this setup, so I kind of rely on it. And then it also has something like a noise gate, which just helps not let outside noises in between pauses. Doesn't get rid of background noise. I mean, it does get rid of some background noise, but it just helps reduce some of the extra noise that might be going on outside of here. And then I haven't always used this, but it also has a high pass filter, which gets rid of some of the rumbling noise. And I've gone back and forth between using that, but lately there's just been a lot of rumbling, we're near airport and stuff. So I've kept it on probably for at least the last year. So that gets rid of just some of the rumbling noise. Like if an airplane's right overhead, I have to stop recording or pause. But if an airplane's in the distance, it should get rid of that noise. Or another thing is there's four units of apartments. So if someone's doing A washing machine can be a challenge, but if someone's drying, just drying their clothes, the high-pass filter, you wouldn't be able to hear that. But if they're washing, sometimes I'll have to pause, depending if it's a spin cycle or something. Or if someone's, like, mowing the lawn at this apartment or the next one next door, I would probably have to, I just wouldn't record at all. Yeah, so then the 286S has, so the microphone goes into that, then another cord comes out of that, comes back down to where I am, and then goes into our digital recorder. So I record into a recorder versus a computer for a couple of reasons. One reason is that recorders, for the most part, are more reliable. Well, one is I don't have a desk in here, so there's not really room for a computer. And a digital recorder is very small. I mean, not super small, but like, what is it? Like, I don't know, like the size of half of a brick, the one I have. And so it just goes into that, and then there's an SD card in the recorder. I hit record. You know, you got to make sure it has batteries. So SD record, my a digital recorder has batteries on the inside, but I also have it with a US, it's plugged into about like a kind of thing, same portable charger you charge your phone with. A little bit different, but the main difference being I can back up to the portable, like a the thing I have charging it, I can do backups to. But so that just powers a recorder. And ideally, if that battery runs out, the recorder will switch to its own batteries. That doesn't always happen. So I'm usually tending to monitor all that stuff because it has happened in the past where the battery has died and then I don't have the digital recorder batteries fully charged, and then I'll lose the recording. And it has happened recent, like not super recently, but usually I like I'm monitoring it, so it's like I might lose 20 minutes, which kind of stinks. But let's see. So I think that's it about the recorders. Then the only other issue in here is like power. It's like my building is older. And so even in my daughter's bedroom, in her entire bedroom, there's only two outlets. So there's only four. There's like two outlets with two plugs each. And so powering everything has always been a challenge. So I have like an extension cord because there's no power in the closet. That goes like out of the closet behind a bunch of stuff to one of the corners of her bedroom. So I can power the preamp and the lights and the second set of LED lights if I need them. So that's been a challenge. But that's like the good news is we'll get to the good news. So that's like the climbing closet. And then the history of like recording equipment, just because I know some people be interested in this. So when I first started the show, I was recording in here. I don't know. Maybe I had a microphone stand in here. Oh, also the digital recorder is on a very, very inexpensive tripod, like an Amazon Basics tripod, because the recorder's not heavy, but that keeps it like within arm's length. Also there's headphones. I think I use the the Audio-Technica something 50X or something, or the headphones I have. And they are so well used that, it's down to like the raw material and the ear pads, but they're very comfortable headphones, especially because I have to wear them the whole time I'm recording, which can be like 2 hours. And then you always need headphones to have a flat response for recording. So like compared to consumer headphones that might add some bass or some, like these headphones are known for just, being very accurate. Okay, so history of recording equipment. So originally when I started in here, I had a borrowed mic and a borrowed digital recorder, and that was it. And it was a boom mic. It was an NTG2, I think. I'm pretty sure that was it. The NTG2. And it went into a DR40. I still have the DR40, which is a type of digital recorder. So no preamp, just using the boom condenser mic, and into the DR40. I mean, hearing back is old stuff. It does lend itself to some hiss and stuff, not having a preamp, but it worked at the time. And like when I tell people, just get started with whatever you can. Like I borrowed stuff and I used that for a long time until I actually dropped the DR40 and I had to buy a new one. And for the person, then I returned to the new one and the mic to the person, and then got the one I dropped repaired. And then I kept using that. And then I bought a mic that I still use for other things, the ATR 2100. I think that was the next mic I went to. Now, the problem with that was like it's a dynamic mic, so it needs even more gain. And so running that into the ATR 2100 just didn't, I mean, into the DR40, it couldn't pick up enough gain to even hear me. I think I probably recorded one or two episodes like that. So then I bought like a really inexpensive preamp that wasn't made for a digital recording that I still use at the live shows, actually. Like a preamp you would use for a microphone, like a guitar, if you're just starting out playing guitar, like a $30 preamp. And it did have a tube in it, and it gave me the gain I needed to power the ATR 2100 and to get good sound out of that. And the ATR 2100 at the time was like a $35 mic. Demand has pushed it up to like a $70 or $90 mic. It does have a lifetime warranty, and it's great for doing interviews. And I still use the ATR 2100 actually for live shows that I'm producing myself into the same preamp that I like bought, because it's just easy to record, and it's great for Skype interviews and stuff, like I said. Then at some point, we sold the t-shirts. I don't know what year that was, 2015 maybe 2014. Because I still wasn't happy with the sound with the ATR 2100. I was like, this is good, but it's not, like, I was like, this isn't the sound I want for the show. And then we raised some money, and that enabled me to buy a new mic and the DBX 286S, a nice preamp. And then I got a condenser mic, which was very nice, and that was an NT1, I think, Rode. So the same company that made the NTG, but this was more of a voiceover condenser mic. And so I started using that with the DBX 286S. And that was a very, very nice mic. And it had warm sound just like I wanted. And we used that mic for a while. The only issue with that mic was because it was a condenser, because I'm in an apartment, it just could never get the settings quite good enough to like where it was loud enough in the gain when I'm recording it, and I could be close enough to the mic, but that it didn't have all the background noise that we tend to pick up in like just living in. I mean, because it's like not just the other four apartments, but I have, you know, other outdoor noises that was just sensitive enough to pick up. And then so I said, oh, what am I going to do? And actually, when I decided to try to find something new, it just happened to be at Thanksgiving or before, right around the holidays. And so then I tried this Shure Beta 87A. I think that's what it is. Because I saw Marco Arman was like, oh, this isn't what I use, but my wife Tiffany uses it. Really great overall podcasting mic, if it suits your voice, because there's a lot of different mics. So then I went with this one, and I've been with it ever since, because it's like a small condenser, so it still gives a warm, creaky, dulcet tone, but it doesn't pick up quite as much as the other condenser I had. So I guess it's a history of, I think that's a history of all the recording stuff, right? And I think it's important for me to honor that this closet is where the podcast is really born. I'm really grateful for this closet and that it worked out so well. And then the podcast is moving where I record it. And ideally the next, I mean, you'll probably hear these out of order. And the sound should not, the transition should be pretty smooth because there's so much post work that with the noise reduction, I don't think you'd be able to tell between the two closets. But I'm moving the podcast to a smaller closet because I'm moving to like about 2 miles away from where I currently live. And that place, like I was looking, and that wasn't one of my major things, but it was like places I've been looking to try to move, that has been a factor. And this place had like not a walk-in closet, but a big closet in the, and it had a big closet, you know, like a bedroom closet. And I said, okay, that's possible. It had like an outdoor, it doesn't have a garage, but it has like a shed, not quite like a shed, but like a step below a shed, like where you could put your bikes and your boxes, like a storage, I guess. Yeah, but that was a little bit too dusty. I said, that won't work. And then it has these, the place has these very, this very narrow staircase, like a half staircase or something. And it ends up, the underneath the staircase is open. Now, it's thinner, but I've been testing it out. And I think it's going to work great. Like, and the cool thing is, anybody that's listening for a long time, is that above me now, I think, like, I haven't recorded there, will be the quilt that the listeners made for me. So the quilt will have this place of honor as the sky above the podcast. So that's going to be really cool. Yeah, but I want to talk about moving. And I know anybody that's been through moving, especially in an area like the Bay Area, you like, it's not always easy. But for me, it's like, it's been this... there's a lot of my life tied into this current place I'm in. And so I just want to talk about that. Like, so this will be like a little bit of a personal journey part of the show. So let me talk about why I have moved. Well, one reason is my daughter is in middle school now, and we live in a really, the current place, I mean, anywhere in the Bay Area, most, for the most part, you're going to live somewhere pretty modest. And I kind of accepted that a long time ago, that it wouldn't have anything it's like a choice between staying here or moving somewhere and having a house. Like, you'd have to move somewhere else, or like, you know, like the yard and the bedrooms and the whole nine yards. And so I've accepted that. But this place is pretty, like, more than modest, like, and so my daughter has her own room, but my bedroom has always been in the living room. And that kind of makes it hard for friends to come over and stuff. And it may be less hard on her than me, and saying, well, I don't want to embarrass my daughter and whatever. Like, be like, your dad, like, you only have one bedroom. Yeah, but not that that is. That's just my own thing. And I'll try to talk around this stuff because I realize it's not easy. But I'm just trying to be real about it a little bit is... just one thing I avoided. And I said, well, I'd like to live somewhere where we just have a little bit more space that she can have friends over to come over and hang out, especially now she's in middle school. And so that was one part of the move. The other part of the move was, like, since I went to the podcast full time, my daughter's school used to be on my way to work. And now it's not. Obviously, I work from home. And that became an issue. It's like... because I wasn't dropping my daughter off and then going to work, even though her school is literally like 2 miles away or 3 miles away as the crow flies, it was like an hour round trip every day. In like an hour just to get to her to school and back, with a lot of stuff that's got to get done for the podcast, just wasn't a great use of my time. And we just want to be closer to her school and stuff like that. So those are like kind of the main motivations. It's like, can we have a little bit more space? And can we be a little bit closer to her school? And so I've been looking for a long time and being patient, and I'm in a good position to be, you know, when you're not in a rush, makes it a lot easier to find someplace. And it was also finding a place that was dog friendly and that worked for the podcast. And it also was like friendly to self-employed podcasters. So those were kind of like, slight hurdles, I guess, in finding a place. Because you have places that'll take a, not take dogs, and then you have places that say, wait, what do you do? What can you, heck, like, what's your monthly thing, and how can you verify? So, well, yeah, so, like, I don't know, it made it interesting, but then we found this place, and so I'm really grateful that we were able to find a place that fit those things, the dog friendly. The landlord was cool with my work situation. It only had the only other thing in my wish list was like 1.5 baths or 2 bathrooms, like basically 2 bathrooms. So me and my daughter, that's my big dream. Oh, that and having a sauna, which that was definitely not, that wasn't really in the cards, but I said one day I want to live someplace where I can have a sauna. And then if I'm really dreaming, a hot tub. Now, neither one of those was in this current search. That's in the dream search. When Gingerbread hit press, it's like 2050 or something. And it was tough to find a place with two baths. Like, the 2 bathrooms or 1.5 baths was like restricted our search with the other issues. But so whatever, we found, like, it was enough of a bad, like, and this place had a closet, which we're calling the Harry Potter closet. I will have to climb under, I think. I still haven't totally finished the soundproofing because I got to use all the stuff that's soundproofing this closet. But I think it's going to be great. And I think it's going to be even smaller. And I think one of the important things about this closet is that it's this place I inhabit, this small, a comfortable place that helps me create a small, comfortable place for you. But I have to look back to like the past 5 and 6 years, because so hopefully you're settled in here, because it hasn't, it's been quite a journey for me over the past like 8, 9 years. And like, so this is the apartment I got sober in and started the podcast in. So it was also a apartment that I was like in before I got sober, but not too long. And so it's like, I guess again, I have mixed memories with this place. It's like I said, it's like always been a little bit, made me feel like I was in a transition place. But I've been here for 6 years and say, well, how long are you going to be in a transitory phase? The part of you is like, when are you going to grow up kind of thing? And that part is not necessarily accurate. It's like, well, I was in this germination stage, man. What do you want from me? I want to live in the Bay Area. You know, this is where I call home. So, this is the choices I'm willing to make. And maybe you have a little bit different, even though you're my internal critic. And it's interesting because I've been able to come to this closet and deal with my internal critic in new ways, just like that, and be like, yeah. We have different value systems. And so it's just been a journey to even get to this place, this climbing class. And then the next one, it's like, oh, I'm starting this new journey. And I'm able to be like, okay, I have the courage to kind of try to really work hard to find a place and to be like, okay, I want to figure out, what do I need to do to have a little bit more space? What else do I have to have going to ensure that and to say, okay, and is there going to be this kind of sacred place to create the podcast? But yeah, the journey here has been interesting. I mean, like my personal history, let's see what I could get into here. It's like, so what is this? 2013, October 2013, I started recording and releasing the podcast, or maybe in September, or even August, I started recording it. I don't know. I'd have to look back at when the BART strike was, but that was when I started, that was when I decided to start making the podcast and then moved right into making it. Yeah, but right around then was when I also was at this place where I stopped feeling like I had, where I became aware. I think a long time I had, was in a phase of my usage of alcohol where it was like, it was no longer optional. I don't think I was aware of that, or I was in denial. But then somewhere in that fall, I became aware, or maybe it was a little bit earlier than that, but it was somewhere in there, I was like, wait a second. Like, I got tired. It really did. I got tired of being tired. I can remember being tired of being tired and being someplace and being like, what am I doing? Like, even if it's, this is not even like a extreme situation, it's just like this daily grind of being like, man, like, why am I buying this? Or why am I stopping here? And the podcast actually, like, well, we'll go get into it later. And so as that fall, like, it did, it wasn't the podcast and the sobriety. I don't know. I mean, they did meet at some place because it's my life and I was living it. But then like, just to like, I mean, I think probably for a long time, it was an issue. I mean, I know that was an issue, but like, it definitely was something that like had reached this apex or like the reverse of an apex, in the fall, and I'd seen some things and just, like, and other people that I said, what am I, like, what is this that I'm in the grips of here? And so by the time the holiday season came, like in December, so I had been making the podcast, and here's a little bit about alcohol, like some, I know a lot of, like, and this is just my story, and, you know, I have an issue, not everybody has an issue. So I know a lot of people like drink to like maybe unwind to say, well, let me have a half a glass of wine before I perform, or, you know, one or two, and, or, you know, they're able to function that way. For me, like I would like when I was in those fall, October, November, and December, I was using alcohol as a motivator. So, like, okay, if you record a podcast episode, then as soon as you're done, you know, you can drink like, it was a night I was alone. I'd say, okay, like record a podcast and then boom, like, I'll make sure this fridge is stocked. And there was only like two times I think I had like a drink or two at dinner. And it, for me, it was like, and I don't know, some people might be able to relate to this. It was like, for me, it was like this contact thing. Like, and of course I didn't have a choice. So it was like, okay, well now that I've got, had contact, with my beverage, I'm already losing focus instantly, but I'm also like focused on, well, can we get this done so I can get back to what I do best or what I'm driven to do? So it was definitely something that was like already getting in the way of the podcast, but not in a way. I mean, addiction's a strong, much stronger force, like most of the time. But I guess the podcast was like something on the scales of things in that in the winter. In December, the scales tipped. It was like, I can't keep, just a lot of things became clear, like, that I couldn't keep, like, if I kept it down the road I was on, it was not sustainable, I guess. Like, and I'd clearly seen, okay, these are the these are the things that are, one of these is going to happen. And the least one is, like, a shorter existence and a much sadder one. And that was for me, like, a big realization. I was like, oh, this is the best case outcome is, that. And I said, okay, like, that's a bit like, if that's like, the brightest outcome, you know, combined with all this other stuff, I said, well, things got to change. I guess I can't keep doing this. And I was able to get help, and that's a message of hope, was like, there's help, and it's like, usually, like, you just go and search on the internet and say, my initials, AA, meetings, and do it in your city or your town. And, I mean, I live in the Bay Area, which is, I'm very lucky. So then I was able to say, okay, wow, any time of the day, or there's a number you could call, and then you can go to a meeting and hear other people's stories and share in their experience, strength, and hope. And then you can just start to try to take it, you know, and there's other options you can take too, to say, okay, wait, I need a little bit more help. So I was able to do that with the help, I mean, not on my own, for sure, but with the help of others and obviously some good orderly design or some force. And the nice thing was when I did stop, that you find yourself with a lot of extra time on your hands. And I was able to invest that time, probably not even now in the most healthy way all of the time. But I was able to invest and say, well, all like, wow, I don't like, I was able to stay really busy. I mean, I was also able to do a lot of self-care and a lot of work, and, you know, not just in the program, but also with therapists. So it's like, I had a lot of resources, but I also had the podcast to invest in, and it kind of gave me a sense of purpose. And in some strange way, that purpose was parallel to this other thing of like being of service and saying, well, I've been there. I've been through sleepless nights. Let me see if I can help. And then it was also, you know, part of my whole journey was like abandoning my inner child or my dreams and hopes and ambitions for what I was driven to do. And for me to be able to have the courage and find the courage to return and say, hey, what was that? You want to make a podcast to put people to sleep? You wanted to tell silly stories? Let's try to do that. And I'll try to put the hard work in to help you with that and to be there and to follow through. And yeah, to do, oh, wow, that sounds like difficult or a little scary. Well, I'll help you. I'll be there while you do that. Oh, wow, you have to ask for money and support. Okay, well, yeah, I'll help you do that. Oh, there's people that are going to criticize. Well, I'll be there. We'll walk through that together. Oh, your internal critic, it turns out, is the biggest. Okay, well, let's try to figure out some strategies. And so, like, this closet, this climbing closet has really been kind of a crucible. I guess like a padded crucible. Like a padded crucible where the podcast is formed. And so it's like I've changed as a person. Actually, I mean, I guess I've changed. I don't know if I've changed as a person, has more become myself more. I've changed my behavior for sure. And not just about drinking, but I mean, I was never someone that could put like consistent work in, even if it was as simple as when I first started the podcast, writing every day, and if it was just 5 minutes a day, every day, until like, or like being like, you know what, we got to get this podcast done before we go to bed, or oh, let's get up early and respond to those emails, or oh, let's, this is outside of our comfort zone, this, and this, so let's step outside our comfort zone to try to promote the podcast or to try to make the podcast sustainable. Or then as a podcast has kind of grown and is still growing to say, well, now let's define these boundaries better and we'll have to say no. Or we'll have to say, no, this isn't working. This isn't sustainable, or cut this back. So like, I guess I've been able to be like a little bit more mature and to support that part of me, to kind of reparent myself so that I can be myself in some weird way. Like, yeah, I don't know. So it's really been a pleasure to be working with you, Closet. And I'll miss you. I've been in denial, I guess, that I'm going to miss you. But I think spiritually, I'll be taking you with me. I hope, and I hope that whatever piece of you I can't take with me, because I can't really, because I don't own this, still be a renter, you know, for a while. But you know, I can take you forward. But thank you so much. And those of you that are listening, thank you so much. Because, you know, whether you're new or you've been here for a while, like, I don't know, I couldn't do it without you. And, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your support and respect and for being along on this journey. I really treasure it. I'm really grateful. Really. Yeah. Thanks. I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts. A Sleepy CC says, cured my insomnia. Not only did it work for me early on, but listening to it every night, I've been able to condition myself to fall asleep when I hear Scoots' voice. After only a bit of over a month of nightly listening, It can even use this for naps. Something they couldn't do before. Thanks, Scoots. Thanks, CC. Book Nerd 2000 has the pretty standard advice that a lot of people give. Works even if you dislike it. Every time I listen to this, I think this isn't going to work. I'm going to have to turn this off. I need to quiet Scoots down. But an hour later, I wake up and all my lights are on. Since the podcast put me to sleep, I didn't turn them off. So I both dislike it and it works. Then Shuvi, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Too much self-advertising. Maybe this is a new listener. Wouldn't be as annoyed as how much the show devotes to promos. Also, maybe it might be listening on a platform that we don't have anything to do with the advertising. Either way, it keeps the show going. It's only, or we could do, but it's meant to help people fall asleep. But making them listen to help the show is, okay, well, yeah, I mean, without support, the show just can't exist. It's only free because of the people that support the show and the sponsors, and the people that support the sponsors is why the show's free. So we have all those people to thank. Thank you. The best podcast I don't listen to, 1314 PK. Love the help you lend and put me to sleep. It's been a lifelong struggle, and this is a huge help. Atticus Finch the fourth says comforting plus odd equals just right. Scoots is my buddy. If you make it past the intros and actually get the stories, well, it's pretty darn great. And Scrimps is a Chuck Tingle fan because it says Scoots is a true buckaroo. Thanks, buckaroo. I've had a few rough months. I've had rough several months, and Scoots' voice in the deep, dark night has been one of my truest and most reliable friends. This podcast has been gentle, respectful, cuddled, has eased me to sleep when I can sleep, and the company keeps my brain from tripping down those wild spirals on nights sleep is elusive for 6 months now. My most sincere thanks. Platababo says, I love Cloud Tower. I don't even mind going up in the air. More like that, please. I love podcasts in general. Thanks. Quirvy116 says, confused my brain and made me tear up. So those are reviews. Thanks, everybody. If you want to review the show, an Apple Podcast, if that's what you use, just open your app on your phone or use iTunes on your desktop. Another thing you can do is actually yes or no if you find the review relevant, which is also a huge help if you're, you know, you're sitting around bored. I think that might be only on desktop on iTunes, because sometimes people, some reviews might be kind of relevant, but some are not. They're just people kind of, I could see the stuff like, yeah, well, it's too many ants. Well, that might be relevant or irrelevant, but people that just don't accurately hear the show. So you could do that on Apple Podcasts or iTunes if you have time and you want to do that. That's a big help. And that's it. Sleeping Me is made possible by our listeners who support the show on Patreon through other means and who support our sponsors. That's what brings you the show. That's what keeps it free. They are the ones who water. They buy the water and then they water the plants so the show can be there. They probably even help, get to say, let's pick some tomatoes. And we'll give them out for free. So thank you. Sleeping Me's part of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com. We got great ones. By the time you hear this, there'll be great new shows out too. And what else? So we're also a member of PRX. You can check out all the amazing things they're doing over at prx.org. And that's it. Let me tuck in. Go ahead. Yeah, get comfortable. Cue up another show if you need it. I'm here all night long if you need to. Good night. Yeah, you're good right there. Yeah, let's buff that pillow up, okay.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever needed support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support, support at supercast.com. And good night.